All right. Now we're going to get into our word as we're continuing on with our series on prayer, Pray This Way. And before we do, though, let's pray. It's always a good idea to start with prayer. So, Lord God, we just thank you for today, for this day that you have given us. And God, we just want to say that you are good, you are awesome, you're amazing, you're kind, you're so rich in your mercy, and we praise you, we worship you today. You are our good and loving Father, and we recognize you as such, and we just want to give you all glory today, Lord God. And being our good and loving Father, we recognize that whatever we are going through today, we recognize that you are bigger and that you are greater, and that is well within your capable hands to take care of. So we love you, we praise you. And Lord God, we also just want to surrender to you today our desires for yours, Lord God. Your will be done in our heart today, Lord God. We want you to say what you want to say. We want you to do what you want to do today, Lord God. We give you full and complete authority to do what you want in our lives today. Speak to us. Let us hear. Let us receive. Let us be changed and transformed by the power of your word today so that we can walk away changed, not the way we came in, but different, looking more like you today, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So I'm going to read through this Lord's Prayer that we are working through now these next few weeks. Matthew 6, 9 through 13 says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So last week, we looked at the first portion of that, the Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we went through and first recognized that we should view God as our Father, which is a term of not only parental authority, but of endearment, that he wants to be viewed as a loving Father. And Jesus actually referred to him as Father over 100 times in the New Testament, meaning that it's important that we view God as a loving Father, and that he is not just a loving Father, he's a good Father. It's his desire to bless his kids. It's his desire to take care of his kids. And that we should, you know, keep our eyes on him, who is far greater and better and bigger than any of our problems. When we look at our problems, they can seem insurmountable. They can seem overwhelming. They can seem so big when we're just looking at our problems. But when we first look at God and recognize his greatness, how big he is, then we realize that our problems really are not that big, that he is far greater and far bigger, and that we need to have the right perspective. We need to have the right reference point. And I gave the illustration that, you know, a hill on the east side is not like a hill over here on the west side, or a mountain's not the same over there. It's like, that's not a hill. That's not a mountain. We know what a mountain is. And so when we first keep our eyes on God, we recognize that our problems they pale in comparison to who he is. So this week we're going to look at the next portion, which is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So first off, in your notes, kingdom denotes dominion or rule. Meaning, we're saying, God, we want your kingdom to be established. And we should have the perspective and we should have the heart posture of, God, I'm going to pray from a place of, I want your kingdom to be established, not my own. I'm going to pray for what you want, not what I want. And will, in the Greek, is the in this text, is the Greek word thelema, which means to will, want, or desire. So when we're saying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, your want, your desire, we don't come to God and say, okay, this God, and we come to him with our list of things, which I think all of us are guilty of. God, here's my list. Here's what I would like today. Here's what I want. He said, no, your kingdom come, your will be done. God's will, God's desire, what he wants, not what we want, which means this. We all have wants. We all have desires. We all have something we would like to take place. So when we pray from this posture, from this way, we are saying, I am setting aside my will, my wants, my desires, and God, I'm placing yours first. And I'm going to pray from what you want. I'm going to pray from that place of surrender. And we should surrender to God. That's what he wants. The crazy thing about this is that if you look through the course of history, kings who ruled kingdoms, they enforced and many times suppressed people, but they mandated that people live by their rules and their ways. And their subjects had no say about it. They had to do it. They had to pay the taxes. They had to obey the laws. They had to give what the king told them to give. God operates his kingdom in a different way. He does not mandate we have to do anything. He gives us free will, and he says, okay, I'm going to give you this choice. You can choose to come under my rule and reign, or you can choose to live under your own rule and reign. And he gives us that ability to either to submit to his authority or live in accordance with the way that you want to rule and reign your life and live your own life. Now, when we do that, when we make that choice, and all of us make that choice, one way, if we live in accordance with our own way and how we want to live, that leads down a certain path and ends up at a certain destination, which is eternal separation from God. But if we choose to submit to God's authority and live in accordance with his word and his way, that also leads to a certain destination, which is eternal relationship with God forever and ever. But it's our choice. He does not enforce that upon us, saying, you're going to do what I say and you have no say about it. He's like, no, you can choose to surrender to me or not. And that's a choice that we have to, I think, constantly make. Luke 9, 23, 24 says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. We will have this pull each and every day. I want what I want. We have a flesh side of us. So each and every day, we have to make this decision. God, I'm going to lay aside what I want for what you want. Jesus did this as well. He surrendered to his Father in heaven. John 5:30 says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus did everything that he did in accordance with the will of his heavenly Father. Not on his own, even when it led him to the cross. Matthew 26:39. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and praying, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Even when it meant that he was going to suffer, he said, God, I'm laying aside my comfort and my desires and my ways for yours. Because I know you, your way is better. And I'm surrendering to you. I'm submitting to you. And when we submit, when we surrender, it needs to be full surrender. Partial surrender is not really surrender. That's you just, you know, letting God have the pieces of you and the things that you have in your life that you don't really care about. It's like a kid sharing their toys. It's like, I'll let you play with this one that I actually don't ever play with. you can play with that one, but these ones over here that I actually really like, they're mine and you can't touch them at all. We have areas in our life that are like that, where we're like, God, you can have this area right here. That's easy for me to give up. That's easy for me to submit to you in. But this one over here, Nah, don't touch that. That's my little space right there. But God's like, that's the one I want. And we need to be willing to surrender that to him. Be like, okay, God, I'm going to submit to you. And I know even as I'm saying that, there's some things popping up in your mind of like, I know God has been asking me to do that, but I've held it back from him. And I just encourage you this morning, stop. Stop holding it back from him. Surrender to him. When this church first started, we hired a youth pastor from Seattle, and he started doing our youth meetings on Friday nights, and he encouraged me and my wife to join him to lead this youth ministry. And reluctantly so at first, but then we're like, okay, this is good. We can do this. And it was on Friday night, so I told him as we started this ministry in the winter, I was like, okay, this is good for now, but come summertime, there's church softball on Friday night, so I'm not going to be able to make it. And he's like, well, okay, I would really like you to be here on Friday nights come summer. I was like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. I haven't missed a church softball game for 10 years now. I played ever since I was like 13. It's like, Jimmy, I really need you to be here. It's like, I'll think about it. I don't even think I said I'll pray about it. I said I'll think about it. Come summertime and church softball starts. And I told him, it's like, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be at church softball. He's like, Jimmy, I really want you to be here on Friday nights. I think it's more important that you're here than you're at church softball. It's like, nope. And I went and I played softball, and the whole time I was on the field, I just felt convicted by the Holy Spirit telling me, Jimmy, you're not supposed to be here. I was like, but God, it's church softball. What's wrong with church softball? Like, come on. It's a ministry opportunity. We got people on the team who don't even go to our church. Like I'm being a good example in ministering. He's like, but that's not what I asked you to do. And you need to give this up. You need to let go. But God, I've done it for so long. He's like, and so this whole game, I'm not having any fun. And which is striking, unless I'm losing on a baseball field. But after that game got done, that next week I went back to our youth pastor and I told him, I'm like, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I should have been here on Friday night instead of at the softball game. I won't miss another one. And he's like, I forgive you. And I didn't miss another youth night from that point forward. And I know that if I would not have made that decision to surrender that to God and give that to him, that I wouldn't be standing here today. Now, in that moment, I was like, what's the big deal, God? It's just church softball. I'm just going to miss a handful of youth nights during the summer. What's the big deal? The big deal was my heart, was me wanting my own way instead of God having his way in my life. And through the courses of those few weeks even, God did such a miraculous work in my heart and my wife's heart. Like, he completely, like, wrecked us and changed us in a good way that wouldn't have taken place if I didn't surrender that to him. So we need to lay aside our desires for God's desires and then trust him in that. I couldn't see what he was doing in the onset of that. I'm like, you know, what's the big deal? Like, what's the worst that could happen? But God could see beyond, you know, what I could see. We can only see like what's right in front of us, but God's got like a million mile above the clouds view, and he can see it all. He can see what is going to take place if you submit and surrender to him. And we need to trust him in that. And know that you're not going to be able to understand everything that he does. And you won't until probably years down the road, be like, oh, that's why you did that. There may be some things that God does that you don't understand, that you will never know in this lifetime why he did it until you get to heaven and you get to see the broader picture and be like, oh my gosh, that's why you did that. But we need to trust him even in when we, even in the unknowing, even in the times when we don't understand. Trust that he knows more and that his ways are higher. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So again, we are not going to be able to understand everything. We actually are not created with that capacity to understand everything. There's many things on this earth that I don't understand, that I put my trust in other people, that they do understand it. Like whenever I get onto an airplane, I don't understand all the laws of like aerodynamics and all that, but I trust that the engineers who built the plane and the thrust and all that stuff that makes it go to keep it above off the ground and not crash down to the earth, I'm placing my trust that they know what they're doing, that they understand it. So if I put that much trust in another human being who, again, is limited in their understanding, how much more should I put my trust in God, who is not limited in his understanding and power? So we are not able to understand everything that God does. We're not created with that capacity as a finite being, but we are created with the ability to trust him. He has created us with the ability to say, okay, God, I don't understand it, but I trust you, and I'm going to follow you, knowing that you are a good and loving Father, and that it is your will, it's your desire to bless. And though the blessing might look different than we anticipated, we can trust him that he is working all things for our good and his glory. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says, trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Okay, you guys are catching on. All your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust him. He is a good father. Even when there's hard things, trust that he is good and do just obey. Trust that he is leading you and that he is guiding you into the perfect path. Many times we think we know we're going on the right path, and we think we know where we're going, but we need to trust God that he knows better than us, that he is a better shepherd than we are of our own lives. When I was working my former job as a forester, walking around in the woods all the time, I was working on this job, and I was at the end of my day, and I was standing on the edge of this stream, and I was like, okay, it's time to wrap it up and go back to the office. And I knew generally my truck was somewhere behind me. So I did an about face and started walking through the woods, walking through the brush, and it was pretty thick brush. And I kept trying to, you know, meander my way through and make it way back to my truck until after about a half an hour's time, where I broke through this little brush patch and I came smack dab to the same stream that I just left half an hour before. To which point I was like, okay, I really don't know as much as I thought I did in the direction that I'm going. Maybe I should get out my compass and follow what it says, which I did, and I made it back to my truck in about 15 minutes. And we need to get out our compass to know the right way to go. And not just get it out, but it would have been foolish of me to get out my compass and be like, okay, it says I should go that way, but I really think I should go this way. No, get out your compass, get out the word of God, and whatever it says to do, wherever it says to go, follow it, obey it. Because God is a better leader, better director than we are of our own lives. And then again, trust that he is a good father. Psalms 34, 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. He is good. Trust him. Trust that he is good and obey. And so that's what Jesus is telling us in this part right here is make sure that you are praying from that posture of, Lord, I'm surrendering my will, my way to yours. And though I may have my desires over here, I'm going to adhere to yours over here, knowing that you are leading me, you are guiding me into something far better than I could even achieve myself. The next portion, on earth as it is in heaven. These actually kind of work in tandem with each other. Your kingdom come, your will be done, which first needs to take place in us by surrender. And then on earth as it is in heaven, declaring that his kingdom values and principles take place in each and every situation as it is in heaven. And because if we take that posture of surrender, we are now a servant of the king, and being a servant of the king then gives us the ability to operate in the king's authority. But we can't operate in the king's authority if we have not first submitted and surrendered to the king. Who are you? Like, seven sons of Sceva. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who the heck are you? If you don't know that story, look it up. Seven sons of Sceva. They try to cast out demons and the demons overpower them. But if you are a servant of the king, you get to operate in the king's authority. And we should, as his kids, as sons and daughters of the Most High, if we are rightly postured in his presence, we should operate in authority and pray with authority, not from a passive place of, God, maybe you could please maybe bless my friend with a job. Maybe someday that would be great. No, God, they need a job. They need their bills to be paid. Open up the windows in heavens and pour out your blessing on them. Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Speaking of what is to come in heaven. So this is saying that there's no sorrow in heaven. There's no death and disease in heaven. There's no brokenness, no fear, no aimlessness. And so if that is what is in heaven, we can pray with authority that those things take place here on earth. Like, if there's no sorrow, we can pray against sorrow. We can pray for joy with authority. If there's no disease in heaven, we can pray against disease and pray for healing and health. No. Spirit of disease, I command you to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray for healing. It's actually in Matthew 16:18. Jesus says this to Peter, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Meaning we have authority as his kids to bind and to loose. I bind you, spirit of sickness, in the name of Jesus, and I loose the spirit of healing right now. I bind the spirit of poverty, and I loose the spirit of provision and blessing. And when we come under alignment with the king, we have that authority, and we should operate in that authority and pray from that posture. No, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to lie down and let the devil have his way. I have authority to pray over that and against that. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. Use the authority that I have given you. And so we should do that in every single area of our lives. And again, it starts with us personally. First and foremost, Lord, I pray against the spirit of rebellion in me, and I surrender to you. Lord, I pray against the spirit of infirmity in my own body, and I loose the spirit of healing. I pray against the spirit of depression, and I loose the spirit of peace, and a sound mind. And we can begin to pray in these different ways. And you can continue on in that same vein and that same authority for your family. Pray even against the spirit of deception. Pray against the spirit of lies for your family members who don't know Christ. Lord, I just come against the spirit of the deceiving spirit right now, that their eyes would be opened, and I loose that spirit of revelation right now into their life, that they would come into the knowledge and the understanding of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, that they would know that you died for them, that they would know, Lord God, that you died for their sins to be given, for forgiven and set free. So we can begin to pray from this posture of authority, the king's authority. Pray for our government officials too. They need wisdom. Many of them think they're operating in wisdom, but really they're operating under, you know, some different directives. Pray for their eyes to be opened, that the deceiving spirits and the lies that they have believed would begin to crumble, and that their eyes would be open to the truth, and that they would be able to make wise decisions. And then pray for your pastors. Pray authoritatively for your pastors. I solicit your prayers. I enjoy your prayers. Just that God would give me wisdom, me and my wife, and Pastor Doug and Lois, and Pastor Cameron and Jen, that God would give us wisdom for all the things that we face, both personally but also corporately. Pray that God's peace would be over our life. And again, pray from that posture of authority. No, I'm speaking that into existence. I'm not just wishing for it to happen, but no, I speak to the enemy, and I command the enemy to leave, and I loose the Spirit of God upon that situation. So we should pray in each and every situation. Pray, you know, pray for your family. Pray for whatever situation it may be. Pray for the people at your work. Pray for your city. Pray for the county of Grace Harbor, that God's will be done, that his kingdom would come as it is in heaven. So we get to pray against the things, the spiritual forces that have ruled and reigned here for years, against addiction, against poverty, against hopelessness, against depression, against infirmity. We as a church, we as believers, we as servants surrendered to the Most High King have the authority to pray against those things and release the opposite, release the spirit of blessing, release the spirit of prosperity, release the spirit of healing, release the spirit of a sound mind and peace. And we should rise up as a church, as God's kids, and do that. And that's what Jesus is saying. Pray this way. Surrender and pray with authority that my kingdom comes, that my will is done on earth, in your area, in your family, wherever it is, as it is in heaven. Don't pray for anything less. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Like I said, before we can pray with authority, we first have to surrender to the authority of God, surrender our life to his. And that first takes place with recognizing what Jesus did on the cross for us, dying for our sins and giving our life to him. So if I could just have every head bowed, every eye closed, if you have not done that yet, if you haven't made that initial decision to say, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, and I'm submitting and surrendering my life to you. Or maybe at one point you did, but you know that you now are living your own life once again, and you need to re-surrender your life to him. If that's you this morning, could you just raise your hand? Is there anybody like that this morning that says, I need Jesus. I need to surrender my life to him. I need the forgiveness of my sins, which he wipes away every sin. I see that hand. Anybody else? Raise it high. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? Okay. I see those hands. Thank you. We're going to pray together as a family. We can just repeat after me. Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die for me. Jesus, thank you for paying the price that was mine to pay. Please forgive me of all my sin, all my wrongdoings, and help me, strengthen me to live my life for you. From this day forward, I give my life to you, Lord. You are my King. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you made that decision for the first time, the next step is to become water baptized, which you can sign up for that at the Connection Center and get involved in our Fresh Start class, which is an 8-week class that kind of walks you through now the beginnings of this new walk with Christ. And so it's good. But we're just going to finish with some worship. If I could just have the prayer team come on up. If you need prayer for anything, remember that first set our eyes on God, whatever you're dealing with, whether it be, you know, finances, whether it be something to do with health or relational, come get prayer. Set your eyes on God and know that he is a good father that wants to meet your needs. And then for the rest of us, submit, surrender, surrender to his plan, his will, and pray with God authority. Amen. So let's just take the last few moments and let's worship as we pray.